Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today is Thursday, not a normal broadcast day. In fact, we had planned to broadcast on Friday, our normal day, because we did change the schedule from Wednesday to Monday this week. But we did have to make another adjustment, obviously, that's why we're on the air today. So, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And callers can connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter. They can like our pages or send us a friend request or follow us. All of those actions can be undertaken. We really appreciate it if you do that.
Okay. Yes, and you know, remember too that we have to pay to establish this show. So we pay a monthly fee every month. And for that, we offer free readings and free information. So we would highly appreciate our callers supporting us, following us. What else could they do?
Following
us, do something about Facebook,
They can either be a friend or follow our you know, our personal page, which is essentially our business page. And then there are pages that we have established that they can like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we said, we pay to be on the air. We have to pay. So it's encouraging to see that people are supporting us. And if that support doesn't come in, it kind of discourages us from doing the show, continuing the show. So please at least follow us, support the show, go on Facebook.
Yeah, and the thing is, what it does for us is it helps to, I mean, even if people are not advertising the show on their own page, which we don't ask them to do. I mean, I think, you know, people have throughout the years posted our show to their page, which is very nice. But we don't even ask people to do that. I mean, we don't go that far. But under your likes, it will, I mean, if you have your likes available at least to your group of friends, some people can make that invisible depending on their privacy selections on Facebook. But if your likes are visible to your friends or even to the public, that helps to promote our show. It's very easy. People see our page and then they can find the show, and that helps to keep us on the air because we need callers and, you know, people to keep doing readings for in order to broadcast. I mean, there's no point if there's not an audience.
This August, we will have been doing the show. I will have been doing the show with Kristen for 8 years. That's 8 years we've been doing the show. I've been on the radio probably over 20. But as it stands, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour has been on the air for now 8 years. And like I said, we give free advice to people. We do free readings. So think about it. Follow us. We're going to be making these announcements before every show now.
Lectures.
Start the show, just to see what kind of response we get, to see if there's a reason to continue to do these shows. And that kind of depends on our callers, too.
Okay, let's bring on 919 area code. Hi.
Hi, my name is Kay.
Hi, Kay.
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Kay. Okay.
Okay. I have spoken to you guys before.
Okay. Are you the one with the girlfriend that has fibroids?
Yes, she had the surgery and everything went well. Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm also the one with the manager who I had questions on, and from the work matter, and that's part of what I'm calling today. Well, first, let me say, how can I support your show financially? I know you. I heard you say about the likes and all, but how is there any like links for providing financial support?
Well, you can send like a PayPal donation. I would have to give my email off air, so you could.
Oh, okay.
Are you on Facebook or not?
I am, and I went to the page. So what I will do is send a message.
Yes, send a message.
And then
I can let you know. Well, that's very nice of you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry for that.
My question is,
with my manager, we had a meeting, me, her, and her manager, or who our division unit chief, and HR last Friday. So I'm now wondering, how do you see things going? Because I know she was caught off guard. And
so this was the manager. Sure. I'm trying to piece this together with my vague memory of what happened.
Okay.
She left unexpectedly,
right.
And then she came back.
Yes, and then she has been out a few other times. She had a car accident and her husband got sick, so she's just been back and forth. But right now we're actually social distancing, so we're having to do telework, which is a good thing in a way, because that way we don't have that day-to-day interaction.
Right. Yeah. So that complicates things too, because the normal status quo is not... I mean, it makes it more difficult just from on a physical level to see, you know, what's playing out on a day-to-day basis as far as her presence at the job is concerned, if she's going to stay.
Right.
So you're wondering if she's going to be leaving or staying. Is that what you're asking? If she's going to
actually, yes, that definitely would be. Well, yes. I guess I'm just concerned. Well, I'll say concerned because I don't want to put that out there. But I'm trying to figure out how she's going to respond or react after our meeting. Because, like I said, we had a meeting with HR and it was a teleconference. So we didn't have that face-to-face interaction, so I couldn't, you know, gauge her response.
Well, what went on in the meeting?
Certainly. As I stated, she had come back, but then she ended up having to leave again because her husband was sick. And there was some tasks, a big contract that needed to be updated. It's time for renewal. And she supposedly had been working on this since the beginning of the year. And her manager, you know, said, okay, well, we need to keep this going. So I want Kay to work on it. So short of it is I worked on it and did all the steps that needed to be done to get the paperwork sent over to procurement so we could renew the agreement. Well, when I sent it on, I honestly was trying to, in the midst of all this quarantine stuff, to get everything done as quickly as possible before I left the office, and I forgot to copy her on the email. This point blank. I even forgot to copy Chief. Now, I did go back and send the email, but she completely lost it. She called me going off about me not copying her on emails or keeping her in the loop. She's a business owner, and the more I said, okay, I understand, she came up with different things. And then she turned around and sent an email to me and copied our unit chief, who, again, is her boss. And after I saw the email, I was just floored because, I mean, I'm thinking I had already apologized. So I called, well, I talked to our chief. He called me. And I just told him I just need his help on facilitating how to work with her because she's, you know, he saw the email and he asked me what happened and I explained to him. And the next thing I know, he has scheduled a meeting for the three of us and HR that Friday. So the meeting with HR didn't go, the short of it, the meeting with HR was kind of weird because the HR representative wanted me to start the conversation by what my concerns were. And I'm like, oh, my God. Our chief is the one that called the meeting.
Right. It wasn't and you. You're not bringing the meeting. You're getting
right.
Yeah, called out for
and
being the one with the issues.
Yes. And then, so I'm trying to find a very diplomatic way to explain my concerns. But make it not, well, obviously I make the call to make the request for the meeting. And so as we were talking, then they gave her an opportunity to express her issues. And basically she responded to my concerns. She did say she didn't have any concerns with me. But after that, I could just sense it just didn't feel well.
And you didn't, if I recall correctly, you didn't have a problem with her. You didn't have a problem with her before this.
No, never has. The only problem I have is her management style, but that's simply because she's a control freak, a micromanager. And
right.
And where I don't like it, I'll do what I have to do with that. But as far as any other issues,
there was no personal conflict between the two of you.
No, right.
So
no,
now
yeah.
there's
potential. Yeah.
Well, did you explain to her that in the midst of this crisis that we're in, that it was just an oversight on your part and you apologized? I mean, did you go to that length with her?
Yes. I did. I did say that during our call, and then I said it to her. I said it during our, I'm sorry, when she decided to kind of snap at me or call me with the snap off. I said it then. Then I said it during the HR meeting. And then I said it again when we had our weekly call that Monday. So, yes, been very clear on that.
At the finish line, did she ever say, okay, I understand, okay, just don't let it happen again?
Nope.
She's holding on to her.
Well, she did say, she didn't say exactly what you said. No, she didn't. She just kept saying, well, I need to be kept in the loop. I need to be kept in the loop. Not, I understand. Let's get past it. No, it's just, I just need to be.
Okay, so at that point. Time. Did you say, okay, absolutely, it won't happen again or anything like that?
I said, definitely, I totally understand. That is why I sent the email afterwards. I said, but even in that moment, I was trying to get everything taken care of because we had just gotten an announcement that we were having a telework and they were encouraging everyone to clean their office. You know, I'm just making all this, you know, explaining every single thing. Yes.
Okay, so at that point now, did she sort of let things go?
Her attitude doesn't seem that way.
Okay, well, you see, people who are, you say she's a control freak.
Yeah.
And so sometimes control freaks come in with severe reprimand because they want to, you know, they just have a different sense of how to punish somebody when things aren't going the way they should.
Yes.
So she's doing, you know, instead of saying, go to your room for 20 minutes, she's saying, you're grounded for a week because she's got issues. So you just say, okay, what will happen is that if you demonstrate through your behavior onward that, you know, you're letting your ego down. You're not making excuses anymore. You're just being, you know, polite. She'll probably, people like this, they ultimately feel guilty. and they start to turn around, most people. And so I might tell her that she's probably going to start to feel guilty. She'll realize that you're behaving yourself now, and she's already thrown her weight around and made it known that you don't compromise her or ignore her, and then at that point I think things will work out.
I don't know how long she's going to be there, the manager.
Well, I don't know. Right now you have to count on she's there and how to deal with this. As far as the root problem is concerned, just say it was the crisis. It was not in orderly fashion that things were happening. I apologize.
Right.
I see the mistake I made. And that's what you say. And eventually, no one's going to be able to tackle anything. It will just go away. So if you release your anxiety level and just be very logical, I think everything will turn out okay. If you're expecting her to leave, I don't feel that immediately right now. I don't think that's the solution, that she'll leave so everything's fine. I think you have to work with the premise that she's there, and you want to make it a less of a hostile workplace.
Yes, definitely.
I agree with you, but I think that ultimately she's going to end up leaving the job. I don't think she's going to stay forever, personally, but who knows? But I agree with the fact that she's there now, so you have to make it work. For sure.
Yes. Definitely. Okay. I'm definitely trying, and I just like to say, in some ways, it's a double-edged sword with this social distancing, because I don't have to see her daily. But on the other side of that, we supposed to have more interaction, but it's very limited. The agency has encouraged everybody to communicate basically daily, but last time I heard from her was Monday. So, we might send emails, but as far as the true nature of what a telework is, she's not doing it, and of course I'm not pushing it.
And what, I can't remember what type of job this is.
We work for the state, work with insurance.
That's right.
Insurance benefits for the state.
So, like, workman's compensation or disability?
Health insurance. Yeah, health insurance.
It's the health insurance and, like,
I think that's what kind of calm things down, Kay.
Okay.
I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And I did just send an email, so inbox. So
I will take a look once.
Thank
we're
you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Kay.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Well, sometimes you talk while we.
You know.
Someone else calls us.
It's funny because in our world of working, we have two options, Chris and I. We can do readings over the phone. We can do readings in person, in different respects. And is there an advantage to doing it in person? Of course. But can things be just as effective over the phone? Of course. So in this social distancing that we've got going, it doesn't have to mean that our connections with our fellow human beings are deteriorating. We have already built into our fabric a sense of personal space. We all have personal space where we feel uncomfortable. When we are friendly with someone and we know someone, then personal space doesn't become an issue. And oftentimes when we are very open to even strangers, personal space isn't necessarily an issue. But the idea of personal space is inherent in the human behavior. We have to have personal space in order to survive, because we can't always trust who we're interacting with. And so we need that kind of personal space. It's already built into our fabric. Now we have a intervening factor.
We're having this, right, and the personal space idea has been imposed on us where we can't just go about our business in the world as usual.
Yeah. It's not a human behavioral problem. We're not, it's a problem based on a virus. So it's self-preservation, it's self-protection. So there's a lot of articles going on about the deterioration of human social interaction, how this is going to change things, and there's going to be social distancing now for years to come. You know, initially, look at what's happening. A lot of people aren't even following social distancing. There, you still see people congregating at the beach and the park and playing. And if you noticed, if you talk to somebody, sometimes you even overrule the restrictions and
right,
move
there's
closer
more
to
close
somebody.
Proximity.
We're built to, the human species is built to connect. Even though there's a sense of isolation that we have, and individuals can be totally in an isolated state of mind permanently. They're hermits or isolated people that live in a cabin up in the mountains. But for the most part, we're a social creature. And right now we have this crisis going on that is diminishing the value and the nurturing aspect of being close to one another and touching and talking, and without any thought that we have to restrict ourselves. Now we suddenly do. But I don't think this virus is out to conquer the human race. If we put it as a metaphor, like some kind of creature from outer space, is this virus really out to wipe us out? No, I think it, in my estimation, it came as a warning. I think it came because of poor practices in the meat factories and in China, where they were killing bats and stuff. Not to criticize Chinese people, but that's where it seemed to have been.
Well, that's what
its origins were.
That's what they say. I mean, there's also other theories about soldiers being exposed to sarin gas, and that's where it's come from, and they blamed it on China. But that's a different topic.
Right now,
the
most dominant theme is that it happened. It was spread from a wild animal to a
human. Yeah, I know what that's what they're saying.
And that's what they're saying, but that's not the point. I mean, it's the point in some respects, but the idea is that it most of the time in crisis, what happens is we see all these essays and editorials, and what's coming up now, which isn't normal, a news item, is how people are helping each other. I mean, there's a lot of people who aren't. That's always going to be the case. And there's a lot of hoarders and people taking advantage and price gouging, people not looking at other people. But a lot of research has now been conducted in such a way that it's hit the editorials and things, that we as a people are grouping together. Normally, during mundane times, we don't talk about how we group together, how we survive. This crisis is prompting us to realize the value of a human life and how we must preserve ourselves as a species. So in some estimation, as bad as this all may be, naturally and logically, it's also bringing out what we are as human beings, that we're here to do everything we can to preserve one another. And that's becoming an issue of what a disease does to where separates us, because of social distancing, it also brings us together as a group. It makes
right,
us feel closer and tighter.
In terms of the sense of community. Well, I mean, I think that in recent years, because of the internet, we do distance more from one another. I mean, there is less community there's more community in certain ways because of communities that exist online. But as far as one-on-one interaction, you know, the idea that we've separated as a human population has been a topic of discussion in recent years because of the internet, because of technology. So that But now, obviously, this virus is now highlighting the fact that we're closer than maybe we thought we were.
But I tell you, since I was a kid, I've been talking to disembodied spirits from the first time I could remember hearing. So I'm not geared to have to see a body in order to communicate. And what this has done, all this internet and everything, is it's learned to make us attached to the human voice. So now when we hear the human voice and the thought content of the voice, we consider it to be natural communication. We don't need to see one another in order to communicate. The advantage to that is that you don't have to be present in order to be vital. It's the same thing with spirits. When I hear a spirit, I don't have to see the spirit. There's no need for me to see. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but there's no need for it. When we've had to, as a human species, learn how to communicate over vast distances, whether it was, the smoke cloud that the Indians did, or ultimately the telephone, yelling across valleys, echoes, things like this. We've learned to communicate over vast distances, and according to the human brain and technology and invention, now we can do it precisely. Now we can go on Skype and we don't even need to be. I mean, it's right there in front of our screen, the way that we've learned to communicate. I think that in terms of this virus, we're learning how to adapt to a various form of communication without compromising our health and well-being. But it certainly does suggest in the long run that optimistically, we're going to survive. This isn't going to kill us, or we're going to survive. Now there's relief programs going on, and compensation, and all kinds of things that are helping us to understand that we are important, that human life is important. One crucial aspect is, what is going to be the rush towards getting back to work? Is it going to be, are we going to go back before Easter, like President Trump says, or should we value human life and be careful and not rush it just because of the economy? And will we wait? That's a very important existential question when it comes to the economy and the functioning of the country, our businesses. What's of more value? If we have to shelter in order to protect human life, that might be the crucial position. But then what do we do with the economy? How do we, it's sort of a catch-22. But ultimately, the doctors and the scientists and the experts are saying, don't rush it. Don't rush.
Right, and there was an article that I was reading earlier today that says that in order to really deal with mitigating the virus, there's going to be the need for social distancing through 2022. So it'll be periods of social distancing and not social distancing in order to control the virus. So who knows? But I mean, obviously, some industries, some people are able to work from home. It's very easy for them to work from home in the industry that they're in. But, restaurant industry has been hit particularly hard. If you're a server, someone who relies on tips, someone who's in the beauty industry, obviously touching people that do massage, or any type of in-person, where you're touching.
We just saw this interesting movie, American Graffiti. I mean, it's an old movie. I've seen it 100 times. Kristen saw it for the first time a week or so.
A little behind the time.
There's a very interesting, one of the most important scenes in there, one of the most important scenes, is when Richard Dreyfuss finally encounters Wolfman Jack. Now, Wolfman Jack was just a voice on the radio. Everybody loved him. He was an old disc jockey, and he had that raspy voice. And He would make comments and interact with the listeners, but he was known as a voice, no face, no presence. And Richard Dreyfuss goes to the radio station, and without knowing it, he's talking to Wolfman Jack, and he's telling Wolfman Jack his problems and stuff. He doesn't know that's Wolfman Jack. He asks where Wolfman Jack is, and the guy says, I don't know. But after he talks about his problems with his girlfriend and wants to put a message out on the airwaves, he leaves the recording station, but through the window, he actually sees this man he's been talking to become Wolfman Jack. He sees him talking and Wolfman Jack, and he kind of smiles to himself. And then Wolfman Jack puts out on the airwaves for this guy's, the girl in the Thunderbird or whatever it is, to talk to him. The idea that sometimes we don't see the person, sometimes we see one another without knowing who we are, and then ultimately it comes down to the conclusion that human interaction has meaning. It has significance and power.
Well, yeah, and actually we met on a radio show, so we didn't initially meet in person. We didn't meet in person for, wait, when did we meet? December, January, February, March.
Yeah.
It was 4 months.
4 months later.
Over four months, actually.
It was
December 7th.
It was all predestined.
12-6, actually, but it was the evening of before 12-7, which is obviously very important in our
It's an interesting
birthday.
Story because it was predestined.
Master number type stuff.
And that's well documented that it was predestined. I had to keep secrets, and I kept the secret throughout many, 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 many years of my life in terms of meeting Kristen. But that's not the real crux of the story. The real crux of the story
well,
is
no,
you're right.
But,
you're,
you know, the we point
met,
was we
and
met
then
in
we
a
encountered
distance.
One another, and then ultimately it led to
lots of bickering.
Lots of bickering, a marriage, a divorce, remarry, divorce.
Actually,
remarry,
no.
Divorce.
In fact, it led to our anniversary, which was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Our wedding anniversary was yesterday.
Yeah.
But the idea that instead of just looking at the crisis of this terrible virus, look at the intricate nature of how it's redefining human communication. And, you know, when you look at it, when you look at the collage of images, you know, people lined up trying to get toilet paper, people, the streets are deserted.
I know there's been some interesting imagery in the news. Well, what I've noticed personally, actually, we've probably been out way more than we should, getting groceries or running errands, so on and so forth. But at the beginning, some of our experiences in the stores were very negative. There, we felt like we were being, like, you know, run down by people in their shopping carts, and, you know, people are grabbing and pushing people out of the way. That was unfortunate. But what I've noticed as times progress is a much more connection with strangers. Much more connection with strangers. And then, you know, what local businesses are doing. There's one place near us who's actually giving away toilet paper to senior citizens for free. You know, a couple rolls per person. But, I mean, for a business to do that is to step up in a crisis and donate like that is, even though it's a small, you know, it may seem small and insignificant, it really isn't. And so the kindness, you know, that people extend to strangers is very important in times like these.
Yeah, it's true. And I think it also helps to demonstrate just how important human connection actually is. We take it for granted. Now, when we're deprived of it, we seem to resist the idea that we have to abide by it. It doesn't seem to fit in our nature that we have to dislocate from one another and restrain from touching and things like this. So really what it's really saying is that there are basic human needs that we have, and that is to be intimate, to communicate, to not have to feel that there are restrictions between one person and another. now there are restrictions, and we don't have to follow them, but with wisdom we do, precautionary wise we do, but it does suggest that how much of value it is to be able to communicate. Now, Chris and I have been doing this show for 8 years, and we've gotten to know, Chris has a lot better memory than I do at my age, but Chris, we've gotten to know our callers. We know them. We have formed relationships with them. We think about them. We talk about them.
We work on their energy.
We work on their energy when the show isn't on. And it's changed our lives for the most part. So our sacrifice to do the show has also increased our awareness of helping others. And I think that's a lot of the good portion of what a human being is.
Well, yeah.
You're
and
there to help one
in
another.
In talking about the sacrifice, and just so that people know, it involves more than just, you know, the fact that we're paying for a radio show. I mean, this is a whole life. This is a life essence that we have here of helping people. So this is, we put before our own egos, so it has more to do, you know, not just the 2 hours that we're on the air every week and the money that we pay for the month every month and the extra time that we spend. I mean, it's about a whole essence of our existence. So that's important to mention,
you know,
I think.
I think his name was Studs Terkel or Studs Terkel. I think that was his name. Anyways, he wrote a book called Working. Very famous essayist and researcher. And right now, the general headline is, when are we going to get it back to work? But when you look at this in a deeper way, we never stop working. Articles are coming out, well, what do you do when you're at home? You watch TV, you're streaming now, you're reading a book, you're playing games, you're doing all these different things. God knows Chris and I have not stopped working. Fortunately, we are in a situation where we can continue to work. But I think that the idea, the verb and the noun work is very precarious. We may have halted our workforce hours and labor, but that doesn't mean, but to say we have stopped working almost is misleading. Because we have to redefine now what work is. And for those of us who are innovative and can continue to work while at home, we don't have to say we've stopped working. I understand the premise. There's a definite premise that we're not literally in the workplace. But to say that we have stopped working, I think, plants a seed of misconception to the word work. Because I think at this point, we are all working. We're working to stay alive. We're working to stay healthy. We're working to make ends meet. We're working on how to be thrifty. We're working on how to be cautious. We're working. We're a working creature. So, you know, rethink the word working, I would say. It doesn't necessarily mean that that is exclusive only to getting a paycheck.
Paycheck, exactly, a profession.
And for those of you who are trying to be creative, there might be ways you can find a different form of work.
Yeah, working from home, there are opportunities. Someone mentioned a website. Was it on the radio? Someone mentioned a website to me?
Sure.
Someone mentioned a website. It was Amazon Jobs. I think actually it was on a call, but there was another one, and it was all these different jobs for people who, you know, need, I think, work from home and types of things like that, but I can't remember the website. It may be in one of my open windows on my phone. I can look.
Yeah. But
I mean, a lot of people are scrambling for extra income because they're not able to make their regular wages because their job doesn't allow work from home in terms of work in the context of getting a paycheck.
The same goes to you know, the kids at school. Now there's homeschooling.
Or not.
And online.
Or not.
A lot of
kids playing. There's no social distancing at all going on, which is whatever.
For the kids, you know, they must be enthralled with the idea that summer vacation has now started.
But I mean, these kids, I mean, really, it's terrible because they need structure. And the idea that schools may be out of session till fall, we're looking at now, that may mean that there are no programs, you know, summer school programs for kids. I mean, that's a lot of time for kids to go to school. And then how are they going to advance if the parents aren't properly homeschooling them, which is, you know.
I know. When I was, you know, it's different because when you get into being the older generation, you go, well, when I was a kid. But I remember a crisis growing up, and I would, I had a neighbor, Mrs. Serafini, and she was just kind of obese, older lady. And during crisis, when we had our particular crisis back in the 50s and stuff, and that was when the bomb shelter era was going on, I would go over there and help and do garden work. I would help her with her trash. I would go around the neighborhood and ask people if I could do any work. That's how I started to become industrious. I would put on shows for the kids. We were like the Little Rascals. We put on talent shows, magic shows. We continued to group together under more of a laborious/intellectual creative aspect of life. We just, you know, I mean, it's nice to sit down and watch a movie or something, but as kids, we went outside and played movies. We actually became soldiers fighting and we did all kinds of creative things. So I think this is also a time of creativity. We don't have to sit there wallowing in worry about how this disease, this virus is going to wipe us out. And we can take alternative routes of thought and behavior to make us look like the human species we should be.
Okay, let's take this caller right now.
Hi, yes,
hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. My name is Nicole, and I'm calling from West Virginia.
Okay.
Yes. My question is, I was wondering, what do you guys pick up for me as far as relationships, and do you see me having children in the future?
She wants just to pick someone up for her.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What's your birthday, Nicole?
7/23/84.
Have we talked to you before?
Yeah, I'm currently in a relationship right now, but I don't have any kids right now, but I really want to start a family with my partner.
Do you do readings? I am trying to match the details to the person. Is that you?
I'm sorry, say it again. Sorry.
Do you do readings on YouTube? I'm just trying to.
Yeah,
that's you. All right. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. What's his birth date?
His birthday is September 17th, 1980.
September 17th,
yes.
1980. Well, he and I don't know if we've talked about the birth dates before, but she's a 7.
She's a 7. He's an 8.
He's an 8, but. He, your months are 7 and 9, and he holds the months in his, well, obviously he holds his own month, but he holds your master mm-hmm. number in his day. So,
mm-hmm.
and your months become his, you know, first and third numbers. Let's see what else is going on with your birth dates. The years are interchangeable, so your 8 to his 4 becomes 84. His mm-hmm. year 8 to his 0 becomes his year 80. Just out of curiosity, Nicole, what does he do for work? You're saying you want kids right now, but are you guys secure financially?
He just lost his job. He was working in a hotel to do with this whole virus thing. He had a job. But right now, we do have backup income. I get my, with the YouTube channel and everything like that, And we both get, like, Social Security right now, too, also.
Right, because I remember you collect disability. I remember that.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Is he on disability? What does he get?
Yes, he gets disability, too. But we also, like I said, he just lost his job working at a hotel.
But he
He
was able to work, because I guess with Social Security disability, sometimes you can work to a certain amount of hours. He was working as well as receiving disability benefits.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand. How old is she? 16.
She's 35. Her age is his karmic number.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, of course, you had a big change. Well, she's going to be 35, right? She's not 35
she's
yet.
35.
I am 35.
Oh, she's 35 now. Sorry. So you had a change a year ago. You went through a big change.
Yes,
what happened when you were 34?
Me and my current boyfriend decided to take a break from each other, and then we recently got back together. I guess it was this past January. So we took a year off from each other, and we just got back together. But we've known each other we've known each other since April of 2017, and
which is interesting.
And,
2017.
Mm-hmm.
I understand biological clock ticking, the idea of wanting to have children. You're 35 years old, and you probably got several more good years of childbearing ahead of you. But I wouldn't say, I think if you were to get pregnant right now, it's going to be a lot of difficulties. You're not stable. He just lost his job. You're both collecting disability. Income is not, collecting disability and making some side money on YouTube is not probably the best way. You're the best foundation on which to bring a child into the world. I think you need to be more secure before you do that. Plus, the relationship isn't totally. Why did you break up?
To focus more on ourselves. We went to go work on ourselves more, and we're a lot more better. And we came back. You know, once we did that, and then we came back together, and we're a lot more better than we were.
Okay. I mean, that's great that there's been improvement and you've worked on yourselves as people and grown up and matured. But that's my personal, maybe Neil sees it differently, Neil.
Well, I think that the two of you are more than, in all probability, more likely to be together. The energies are good. The vibe seems right. I'm somewhat suggesting that the two of you should be a couple and maybe ultimately marry. Do I think you guys are going to? Well, the numbers and the energy field suggest yes, and to build a life together. And if you do you love this guy? Are you in love with him?
Very much so. Yes.
Does he love you? Is he in love with you?
Yes.
Well,
so like I said, he's a Virgo, and so you have to move very, very slow with him. So, yeah.
I don't know about that, but I'm a Virgo.
Yeah.
I won't say what's slow at my age, but you can imagine what's slow at my age. But, he's a Virgo. That's nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. What's most important here is that the codes in your birth dates are very strong.
Yeah, they are.
The energy feels good.
But,
I think you two should ultimately get married and start a life together. It's exciting. It's a good tradition. And
wait to have kids. Don't have kids before you get married.
I'm not saying kids yet.
Yeah, but I totally agree with you.
She said, I want to have children. I'm feeling like I want to have kids.
Well, you're probably, your master number is 7. And right now, your karmic number is 34, but 35 is a multiple of 7. So that's why you're wanting it now.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
But you can wait. You can wait.
Good bless you.
You can wait until I don't think you need to panic, karmically speaking, or dynamically speaking, you don't really need to start panicking or sweating it out until you're at least 37, according to your code.
In terms of,
but
in
the reason
terms
you're
getting married,
well, or
and
having children.
The
reason mm-hmm. you're wanting a child now is because your master number is 7. That's your month. And you're 35, which is 5 times 7. 23, your day adds up to 5. So 5 times 7 via
is
your day and
35.
Month is 35. And you're wanting this to happen. And, you know, God, if you two got married today and had a child, you're going to be okay. Because the code sort of suggests that in your karmic relationship with him, this is a consideration anyways. So I'm not concerned, but I wouldn't put on any panic buttons yet. If your question is, are we going to get married? Are we going to have a child? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen's idea that logically speaking, is this the right time? Ideally, probably not. Well, but, you know, life is no guarantee. You could be totally successful and have a child and be married and 10 years down the line have a crisis.
No, of course not. But you also want to make sound decisions and going forward with a marriage and having children at a time where there's financial instability and there's someone just lost his job. That's not thinking ahead. I mean, yes, a crisis can hit at any time, but you want to make sound decisions based on, you know, circumstances that support.
If you two plan to get married and have a baby sooner than later, it's all going to work out.
Just I'm wondering, just out of curiosity, when would I have my first child? I'm just curious. I'm just wondering.
What'd she say?
She's wondering when she would have
we
her
just
first
sort
child.
Of, what,
well,
your,
37.
Your question
by,
doesn't address
I mean,
what we just said. You're going. The idea of getting, having a baby, or getting married, having a baby is already in the zone. We already
between
told
the
you
two
that.
Of you.
I don't understand why you're saying, well, when? That's going to be. You know. You mean when? Is it like
destiny?
Is there a date?
Is
there
what
a
she's
time?
Wondering.
Can we see it right then and it's predestined? Not the moment. But I'll tell you this. I think you're either going to have a baby or you're either going to get pregnant or have a baby in
Bye.
The month of October.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys so much. I'm sorry if I'm being annoying or anything like that.
Nothing to apologize for, but probably by the age of 37, because not only is that in her karmic number, master number code, it's in her month and day.
Yeah, don't apologize, Nicole.
There's nothing to apologize for.
We're just saying that it's interesting because the way you put the question, well, when will I have a baby? It intrigues me because there's something, what it really says to me, Nicole, is that you have this need to have a baby. And so maybe there's something underlying a logical approach. Maybe you're destined to have a baby. Maybe we're neglecting to really hear where you're coming from, because if there's this need for you to be on a planet and have a baby, maybe that's what's resounding in your ears. Maybe that's important. You see what I'm saying? And
I think
so,
I get what you're saying, yes.
Yeah.
There
might be a deeper need.
And what about him? How is his? I mean, he probably feels the same way, I'm guessing, that he wants children too.
Yeah. And like I said, burgers are very caring and nurturing and stuff like that.
Where do you live? Do you live with him?
We're working on that, actually. We're talking about moving in together. I live in West Virginia. I used to live in Indiana, but I live in West Virginia. And me and my mom and my stepdad are talking about going back to Indiana because we do not like it here in West Virginia. So
you live here at Sonic. I remember.
John Denver liked it there. What do you have?
No, it's not the greatest place of all.
No.
Really?
Well,
what's the matter with it?
What's the matter with it?
Yeah.
It's just not the best place healthcare wise. The state's kind of poor, and
it's economically
not the best.
But I remember that you live with your mother, so you're separated by he's in Indiana right now, and you're in West Virginia.
Yeah, we're talking about moving back to West Virginia, and me and my boyfriend are talking about moving in together.
I'm just going to say, go back to what I said from the very beginning. Obviously, you're not ready to have a baby right now because you don't even live with them. I mean, you are separated by several states. So, the birth dates are, I mean, there's great compatibility between the two of you, but you're not even in that place yet to do it. You're not, just happening right now. So, I mean, work on getting back to Indiana, I guess, if you don't like West Virginia, and then, you know, make the steps to start living together. Maybe he can get additional work. Are you planning on working at all?
Once the virus goes away, or just I guess see what happens with this virus. I can't plan anything until we see what goes on here. All I could do is take one step at a time.
And you're on disability too, so you can't make. You have to make a limited income in order to stay eligible for disability. I don't know how it works. I think it's different.
You only can work like 20 hours a week, and
but that helps. I mean, if you're planning on being disability and working, you know, less than 20 hours a week, that gives you more time to be a mom. So that's the one advantage.
Exactly. And I just got to find that balance. But like I said, you just got to take one step at a time. Because right now we're all in limbo. We don't really know what we're doing with this virus going around. So.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of uncertainty. So you want to make sure you're sure of what you're doing, that you've got a place to live, that you have, you know, a place together and marriage and the children. That's what I think the best plan is.
Yeah, I guess that's why I'm calling him, like seeing what was my future with him and like what you guys saw or whatever, you know.
Well, it's a good forecast, but obviously there are physical steps that need to be taken, starting with you moving back to where he is.
Not like I said, we're working on it. I filled out a few applications and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's good. So, okay, Nicole, well, thanks for checking back
with us. All right, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay.
Bye.
Okay.
Well, it looks like we're at the tail end of the...
We are.
What time did we start? 10?
Yeah.
Oh. We just got our 90-second warning. So. We'll be back on our regular schedule.
Wednesday, Friday. Next week.
Wednesday and Friday of next week.
Okay. We are back. That's 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And again, we invite those of you who are irregulars to follow us or like our pages on our social media pages. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.